Good morning, everyone. This is April the, I guess, would be the 26th, and coming at you this morning with a Sunday school lesson. I'm going to tell off on myself. I have actually ran through the lesson once and didn't turn the camera on. And I kept noticing there was something different about the lighting, and through, of course, I can't go back and show it to you and just laugh about it because there was nothing being recorded, but I kept making mention that, you know, the lights just didn't look the same, or the picture just doesn't look the same today. You know, I'll make sure I double check it. And I got all the way through it, or probably 90% through it, and then I realized that I didn't have the camera on. So I went back and I had to turn it on. So we'll have to just because of the time it is, and I'd get up and get started, and the sun's not up, and it's usually around, I don't know, a little before 6 or 6 a.m., and get the Sunday school lesson finished, and I just in case thoughts come to my mind or something changes on my mind between Friday or Saturday, and then you get that done. So it would normally be recorded and at early Sunday morning, then be uploaded. But then this morning I've lost the time because I took the time that I would have had to have Sunday school, or to to tape it and then to upload it. I've used most of that time on the same lesson, but anyway, I'm taking up more time. So I guess this makes me a little nervous about the time this morning. So let me get started. But I kind of laugh at myself for doing that because I kept mentioning that, hey, it just doesn't look the same. I don't know what's wrong with the screen. Maybe it looked the same for you. And the reason why it didn't look the same because nothing was going on. I was basically just talking to a computer that couldn't talk back. But anyway. Again, welcome this morning. It's April 26th. Can't believe it's the end of the month. A lot of things are going to be happening, I think, this next week. And that's kind of the topic of our Sunday school lesson this morning. And again, I'll get right to it. And we'll have to try to, it'll be shorter this morning. I'll have to try to do that just because of upload time, just because of running time, and because I've already done it once. And that took up most of the morning. So, but what I wanted to look at was, and just think about it, in the times we're living in today, is God will provide. And so if you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 12, I'll meet you there in just a second. I'm going to flip over to Psalm 78. And this is what David, of course, he's reminding them, or being reminded of, of the way God's goodness to Israel. And it's just a reminder of how good God was, even though Israel acted the way they did in situations. If I can find that. And it's also asked a question, and which makes us stop and think today, even as bad as we may think times are, can God provide? Can God take care of us? Do we need to be looking up? We need to be praying for these men and women who are making decisions about the country, about the economy, about the virus, about treating people, about the infections, about vaccines, about treatment, about finding drugs at work, etc., whatever it may be, about jobs, people being furloughed, and people going back to work, and the economy, and what that means. And, I understand there's a fine line there. You know, you've got one group who no, we need to open everything back up and just let it go, and just let the virus go, and just take it as it comes. And then we got another group of people who sorry about that, power's starting to go out. It did that three times last night. I'm gonna go ahead and unplug from the power and just use the battery, and if I can get it unplugged. And in that case, what will happen, excuse me, I got a little crooked there. In that case, if the power does go out, I'm still taping. And so that's the last thing I need, is to go all the way through the Sunday school lesson and not turn anything on. Then when I do to get it turned on, the power goes out. And but of course that will affect the upload, but it won't affect the taping, so it would be ready to go But again, we need to pray for these men and women, pray for our country at this time. And says, well, you know, that's why I wanted to look at, as I thought about those things, and I don't watch the news, I try not to now, because that's all you see on there is COVID-19, and I just, you know, whether you can help it or not, you get all these thoughts running through your mind. So I did read a little bit in the paper about some of the guidelines about the nation opening back up, and as well as the state, and some guidelines people are supposed to follow, whether they will or not, you know, is up to them. But that's kind of what made me think here in Psalm 78. And as he looked, he said, this is how God's goodness to Israel. He clayed the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. So I wanted to remind us of that, of how Israel sinned against God as they came out of the nation of Egypt. And even after that, how Israel would sin against God. And said, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And so, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In other words, can he keep us? Or could he keep Israel? Which he did. As we know, we have the historical background in the Bible for that. And you know, as far as how they would provoke him, and then he turned back to them, he turned away from them, he turned back, etc. And so we can go through and read that in Scripture. And that's, of course, that's what David recorded here, is just a reminder of how good God had been to Israel. And we need to be reminded, too, on how good God's been to us here in this country, in this nation this morning. So we'll go over to Exodus, if we would. What did I say? Chapter 13 or chapter 12. I have to get a move on this morning. Exodus chapter 12. Okay. Verses number... you know, before I read that, let me read something over in chapter 3. Just take a minute out here. Exodus 3. Just to put this in perspective here. This is God talking to Moses. It says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. That every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So that word spoil a lot of times makes me think of, I guess, a war or a battle that you may have, and the, you know, victor takes the spoils, so to speak, or the spoils that are left on the battlefield, they usually go to the victor. And so it makes me think of the victory that the Israelites had there, that they even spoiled Egypt when they left. And that's what we go into. That's over in chapter 3, is God predicted that or told Moses. And I guess, you know, you wonder if times did Moses not doubt that, but ever think, you know, so we're going to leave, and when we leave, we're going to spoil Egypt, so we're not going to fight them. So God did the fighting for them, and when we leave, we're going to take everything that we need. So let's see here what the Scripture says over in chapter 12 about what happened. Verse number 31, he called for Moses and Aaron Benai and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, so the Egyptians were wanting them out. trying to push them out as quick as they can, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So as we read over in Psalms, and of course David mentioned, can God provide a table in the wilderness? That was a question that the Israelites were asking, I guess, in tempting God, even though God has been as good to them as he had. Here in Egypt, we're backing up, and we're seeing that when the Israelites left Egypt, they spoiled Egypt. And so according to this, and we believe the scripture, it says here they borrowed or they took of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. So they took what they needed. And so in so doing, they spoiled them, so to speak. In other words, they took their valuables. And the way I read this is the Egyptians gladly gave it to them. And even in verse number 36, it said, people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them or gave to them such things as they required. So if there was something they were missing or something they were needed, or and maybe it was just in passing, and that they, you know, I'm trying to think of something they may need for the journey, some tools or I don't know, you know, more jewels. I don't know what it would have been, but it sounds like that the Egyptians helped them bind it up or helped them put it together. You know, you could almost picture maybe in today's society, think about something they might need to help, build a structure or they had a tent or something they had to take with them. I don't know. But they said, well, it's going to be difficult for us to carry that. Well, that's okay. I've got a mule here in the back. You just take it with you. And just loaded it up for them and said, here, keep it. And they're just glad to see them go. But they spoiled the land. So they took that with them. And they not only took, you notice, their silver and gold, and they not only lent them or gave them such things as they required to survive as a people. And you got to remember, there were thousands of Israelites, but they also gave them their raiment. So they gave them their clothes. So they gave them clothes to wear. And so they just didn't leave in there. You know, I picture like in the movie, you know, and it was at Charlton Heston's Inn, came on for years. That, of course, when they leave in just the rags that they've got on. And they may have wore that just to get out of the country. But according to this, the Egyptians gave them raiment or gave them clothes to wear. So they had changes of clothes. They wouldn't have to wear the same thing. And but anyway, I think about that as I... this week, as I looked, and that's how that thought came to my mind, as I looked and read in the paper about God will provide. Look at these other situations that God's people's been in need, and He's always provided for them. And that's why I want to read that in Psalms first. He said, even as wicked as Israel's been, and as our nation has been, He still answers prayers, and God will provide, and He will lead on. Speaking of leading on, let me read you one other thing here, then we'll move on. He not only allowed them to spoil Egypt, He also led them. But they let Him, they let the Lord lead them. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, by night in a pillar of fire. To give them light, to go by day and night. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In other words, He left it there to guide them, and so they know the direction that they needed to go, and they'd have light at night, and they'd have, of course, a cloud during the day to know that He was with them. And All right. So, and to lead the way. So, again, God will provide. Again, for the second time this morning, and it seems like I had a lot of other kind of commentary and some things that I had looked at, but due to my mishandling of, the technical difficulties this morning. See, that's what happens. You do something twice, and you think you got it down right, and you come up the third time, and you realize the mistakes can still be made again. Let me look at Matthew quickly. This morning, you don't have to turn there. I will. I wanted to read something to you. If I can find it. Matthew chapter 6 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is, cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Let me read that one more time. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, some people use that as a health and wealth gospel and try to tell you that if you do all those things, then you're going to have money always falling out of your pockets and nothing ever go wrong and you'll live a long, healthy life. And that's not always the case. What he's pointing out is God will provide. And God will provide the things that you need the same way as he did over in Egypt. And he said what they were in need of, the Egyptians lent unto them. In other words, what they needed for the trip, what they had to have for the journey, they were glad to give it to them. And even, like I said, I have in my mind vision, they even packed it up for them and more or less gift-wrapped it and said, here you go, take it with you as you go. All right, that was Matthew 6. There's just a couple other places, I guess really, let's just go to one other place and we'll be finished this morning. And again, for the sake of time, Acts 27. There were several places in the scripture where we could have looked for examples of God providing for his people, for his church. But there was one here I wanted to look at with Paul. Of course, this is when he's been going over to Rome. Of course, they go by from Italy and going, of course, Cyprus and Crete, and we're not going to read all of that. This is in chapter 27. This is when there's a storm at sea, and we'll look and see what God did for these men here, did for Paul, and I'll try to skip some verses again just for the sake of time. But let's start at verse number. 9 of chapter 27, then we'll skip down to some others. It said, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, in other words, it was a time where it was almost foolish to go out and go sailing, because the weather could turn bad so quickly. It was that time of year. Kind of like what we think about in our, I guess, northern Atlantic, when you get off the coast of like Connecticut and that area up there in Maine, And that's always considered to be in a rough area, rough water, especially this time of year. Nor'easters, I think, is what they call them. Sometimes you have those as far south as Maryland. But anyway, I think about that type of weather. But now, much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete." In other words, when they where they were at was not a very good place to winter in anyway, and so they made the decision to go ahead and leave, even though with Paul's warning. Verse number 14, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidean, which, and when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda," if I think that's right, yeah, my lighting's getting changed too, as it's getting more light outside, it's beginning to change. "We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, and the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And with neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and so no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." In other words, they was in the storm the entire time. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and had lot not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." In other words, we're going to lose a ship and not a life. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" In other words, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." In other words, God will provide. And he's telling Paul, said, "You've got to go before Caesar, so you'll be okay, and everybody with you will be okay as well." So just with the man of God there, he guaranteed everybody's safety. He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. In other words, they thought they were getting close to land, and so they were checking to make sure the water was beginning to get shallower and shallower. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved.' And while the day was coming on, Paul besought all to take..." Oh, let me back up. I skipped the verse. Verse number 32. Verse number 31 again, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, let her fall off. So in other words, this time around, the centurion thought, "Well, last time I listened to the master and the owner of the ship, and Paul was right, and he told us we were going to run into a storm, and I think I'm going to stick with him this time. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God, the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And as we see here, all the men are still alive, just like God promised they would be. God provided them a way in the storm. It kept them 14 days in the storm, and it must have been some type of storm, because from what you read that earlier, it was even difficult to tell the difference between day and night as the storm raged on. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek into a shore from which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And then when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, loosed the rudder, bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept him from the purpose, commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, they escaped, all safe to land. So again, it was a time where something popped up here on the screen. I'm going to try to see what it is. There we go. It was a time where there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of uncertainty. And God's people, or God's man, Paul, and what I was getting ready to say, even in this time of uncertainty that we have, God's people can be a light, can be a guide for others. We need to pray for the direction of this nation, pray for direction for God in our lives and what he'd have us do during this time. But as even as we see here, Paul in the storm at sea, and again, as you read through that and take your time and verses 14 through about number, 26 or 27, it had to be one of the worst storms at sea or that's recorded, that I know in the scripture that's mentioned. We think about storms at sea, and this is the one that comes to mind, because I think about how many days they must have went. It says many days, and then you start looking about the 14th day that they haven't eaten, they hadn't taken any meat, and they've been fasting, and it was very difficult for them to even tell the difference between daylight and nighttime, how severe this storm was. But God still provided a way, and provided for them a way to escape and get out. And of course, they landed on an island, and you can go ahead and you can read about that island, and it talks about there's barbarous people there, and talking about kindling a fire. And of course, that's when the viper, the snake, came out of the fire, and of course bit Paul. But anyway, you can go back and read that in chapter 28 on your own. But that even more so, I guess, showed how God provides for his people. Because he told Paul, said, "You're going to gonna have to go to Rome, and you're going to get there, and the people with you are going to get there." And he provided him a way. Of course, later on in chapter 28, Paul is in Rome. And that's what he'll do for us today during this COVID-19, during this, a period of time where I guess we start in the next week or two, starting to, I guess, open up the economy or starting to make some changes. I know we've heard that term, social distancing. In the paper this week, I think it's the end of the week, there are some guidelines listed that people are supposed to do. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know. But still, we can't rely on people. Got to rely on God and God in our lives, and He'll lead, guide, and direct us. As we know, as we saw in these two examples today, that is an almost impossible odds. It's almost impossible odds for you to ask the men on the ship. If you'd ask the soldiers, the centurion, if you'd ask the master of the ship or the owner that they never came out of that storm, or that they, if they had of, that they always survived and they did because God said they would. It's almost impossible or unthinkable that the Egyptians would let the Israelites go after so many years. And not only let them go, but when they let them go, they let them take all their jewelry, their silver and gold, and have them packed, so to speak. In other words, what else do you need? We'll get you packed up. And as I've mentioned before, they lent them the things that they needed. And they left. And so this morning, again, a little shorter lesson. Had a couple other places I wanted to look at. But just for the sake of time, and again, my earlier miscue there, I'll leave you with this. We won't be over in Ecclesiastes. That's where I leave you with it a lot of times and think on these things. But what things are, I guess, we want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. But today we'll think on these things. So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so leave you with that, and hopefully that'd be a blessing to you. Think about the children of Israel. Think about how when they left, that they spoiled a nation without raising a sword, so to speak, that God fought the battle for them. Think about Paul when he was on the ship, and the men did all they could. And, of course, that's one of the things that you see or you hear about. They throw everything overboard, try to lighten the ship, try to keep it afloat. So they even tried to girded it. Or they girded, I guess, yeah, girded the ship with cables, it talks about. Try to hold it together and hold it tight. And it was God that took them home, so to speak, or took them to land. You know, you've heard that saying, take us home. Get us there. He's talking about being on a trip before or traveling. And that's what God did, and said all landed safely. And so everyone was safe just as God promised. And so God will provide in every situation you can think of. Even as I went back and read there in Matthew 6, even the lilies of the field as they toil, or you think about the fowls of the air and the food that they eat, and how God provides for them, and they don't store in barns, and they look to Him. And that's what we need to do today, is look up, look to God, be in prayer. Pray for the service today. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the church. Again, pray for our nation. Getting ready to go through some changes, and not sure what those are going to look like. I'm going to sign off now, and hopefully I got everything right this time. And I'll try to do it as I sign off and as I upload. And the power stayed on, so that's good. So get the power back, plugged back up. Again, I'm running on the battery now just in case the power went back out. And it went out about three times, again, as I mentioned earlier. But that was earlier in the night. I just thought we were still good to go this morning. But let's see what happens. And again, thanks for your attention, and have a blessed day.